Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 4 o'clock on a Monday. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. We'll get to the Jets quarterback change, which was announced or at least leaked out earlier today. Tyrod Taylor for Justin Fields. We'll get to that later on this hour. But right before the Giants kicked off yesterday in their game against the Green Bay Packers, Jay Glazer, who is very locked in, gave us a little pregame report on the Giants coaching search. And I'll play you two clips because I think both of them are interesting in their own regard. First is what the search is going to look like. And Jay Glazer was explaining it isn't going to be this extensive kind of search. Take a listen.
We're not going to have a coaching search that is going to span everywhere. They're not just going to, you know, open up to everywhere possible and have, you know, 25 guys in.
So that was a little weird because it was like, why won't it be extensive?
Right.
Like, why not?
Because I think you need to identify who the kind of coach you want and then identify those coaches and interview them.
Well, here are the names he mentioned, and we'll see if we can find a trend in the Jay Glazer candidates for the New York Giants job, at least those that the Giants are going to be interested in.
I think you could see guys like, you know, a Mike McCarthy, if we're talking about for offensive coaches, right? A guy like Matt Nagy, a guy like Arthur Jones. I think they'd like Arthur Smith, somebody who's had some experience in the defensive side of the ball. Steve Spagnuolo, Lou Anarumo, who brings that, you know, that presence also. But also a name who's starting to really pop up. We talked about the game earlier, Chris Shula. Okay, who is the defensive coordinator for the Rams. But I'll tell you this. Of all the coaches that Sean McVay has kind of pushed along to be a new head coach, the next head coach, he's done more with Chris Shula than all of them combined. These two guys are best friends. They went to college together. But he lets him in on everything. Where he may not have done that with everybody else, he does with Shula. He thinks he's going to be a star.
What do you think of those names?
I mean, they're interesting. But, again, I don't know anything about them. I don't know Chris Shula from John Smith. I know Arthur Smith. I know the guys that he originally talked about, but some of these West Coast Sean McVay disciples, I have no idea. I don't know what kind of leader they're going to be, but I trust Jay because Jay has been one of the best insiders for 2 decades now.
No, he's locked in.
He's a very close friend of mine. And so, but I don't know those guys that he's talking about.
Yeah, he basically ruled out college coaches.
Yeah.
That the Giants are not going to go that route.
And that's smart.
I think that the easy answer continues to be Mike McCarthy. And this is, I think, like my 4th time coming on WFAN and saying Mike McCarthy should coach a New York team. Because every time the Jets have had a vacancy, it's been like, what about Mike McCarthy? 2 times ago when the Giants had a vacancy, it was, why not Mike McCarthy? So I think I've been consistent on this. He's just easy. You know, sometimes hires are complicated and you're trying to find the next Vince Lombardi. And sometimes with where you are as an organization, it's almost, let me go simple. And of all the names that he said, I think there's risks involved with all of them. And the one that provides, to me, the limited risk is Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, of course, because he's a veteran coach. He's had success, even though it was with the Cowboys, won multiple double digits.
And Green Bay, obviously.
Multiple games with the double digits. And Green Bay had a Super Bowl championship, had a ton of success for a lot of years. And you know he's reliable. And you know what you're getting. You're not waiting for him to develop into the uber kid, super new young coach. That's not what you're waiting for. You have someone who is insert now, plug in. He's going to get your program right. In a essence, he's your Tom Thibodeau, right? He's that
absolutely
he's
because
that
he's
guy.
Because to be fair, and I hate to get ahead of this, and this may sound like a jerky comment. I don't think it is. I'm probably going to fire Mike McCarthy in 4 or 5 years and then go to the next guy that's going to get me over the top.
Right.
And possibly, but that's okay.
And possibly it's his assistant coach or offensive coordinator or whoever it may be. But the challenge is now prying those guys loose from their current situations. Because there's not a, there's not an unlimited number of these wonder kids. So if you're going to interview one of them for your head coach, you're taking a risk because you don't know if he's going to be the one that makes it. Or the
I mean, Chris Shula's a risk. I mean, he's got great genes, and just because Sean McVay loves him doesn't mean he's going to be a great head coach.
Right.
I mean, we love Sean McVay. Everybody respects Sean McVay. Just because Sean McVay's best friends with Chris Shula doesn't mean Chris Shula's going to be the next great head coach.
Right.
I mean, all Jay Glazer pointed out in that was that Chris is loved by Sean McVay. Okay. He could just be doing a favor for his best friend.
Right.
It may not be that he believes he's the next great head coach.
No, it's just a name that you're not thinking about. And that's what insiders and Jay in particular, that's what he does. Like, he knows what the inside talk is with organizations, with the league about, well, this guy is going to get a shot. This guy, he's going to be the next. And that's not anybody specifically saying it. It's just what Sean McVay is likely saying, you know, like, hey, Jay, this guy is awesome. We're helping groom him to be the next guy. When he gets his shot, he's going to be ready. It's going to be awesome. So Jay now has that just information from being around those guys. And so that's what he's reporting. He's not saying the Giants are specifically looking at Chris Shula. They're saying the guy who Chris Shula works for thinks he's going to be a head coach, a great head coach. So, and you have to take it for what it is.
Absolutely. And we'll get your calls, 888-808-1019. Mike in Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Evan, Tiki.
What's up?
So, Evan, I agree with you. The coach has to be Mike McCarthy. Because think of it like this. You want a teacher to teach Jackson Dart. He will learn everything he needs to know. We don't have to worry about that. He'll also bring in high-end coaches. And guess what? Abdul Carter deserves a good coach, too. You know, Mike McCarthy will bring in these high-end coaches, and the GM search. You know, if Mara doesn't want to make Shane fire him, but he should fire him, but he doesn't want to rock the boat, just fire Shane and bring the assistant up. And I'm sick of Shane's players being on this team, and they shouldn't be. They're no good. I think they're
some of them are. Some of them are good. You can't knock all of them. But it's been hit or miss. That is what it is. His early drafts weren't as successful as these latter ones. It's interesting. We keep talking about Mike McCarthy because I kind of felt like I knew what the staff was, but Mike McCarthy's staff were two current NFL head coaches: Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator, and Kellen Moore, who is now the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. He left and went to Philly.
Chargers
and then Philly, won a Super Bowl, and then got a head coaching job. But that was his last year. When he lost those two guys, that was his last year. So we know he hires good coordinators because they turn into head coaches. Now, the question is, can he do it again?
Because I was already caught today remembering something incorrectly,
mm-hmm.
with audio proving me wrong, I'm going to be very careful when I say this.
Mm-hmm.
I keenly remember all of you, Sean, Tommy, and you, Tiki, crapping all over my guy, Mike McCarthy.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want Mike McCarthy.
I don't either. It feels like we're settling.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying I want Mike McCarthy.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
But if you're looking for a coach that's going to be your Tom Thibodeau, it's Mike McCarthy.
All right. Fair enough. So I won't have to look for the audio of you, Tiki, and you don't want him either?
I know. Honestly, the Glazer report, I trust Jay. It made me want to throw
it. I am interested in working through Matt Nagy, though.
Interesting. I'll focus on you then, Tommy. I'll see if I could find the anti-Mike McCarthy vitriol from you. I don't know if it exists, though, as much with you. I remember it specifically with Sean and Tiki.
What context you're saying when he was brought up to be the head coach or just in his past?
No, like crapping on him when he was in Dallas. Like, he stinks, Dable's better.
That exists. It's not even.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Him, Dable's better. It's just he's a good regular season coach. We know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens.
Which in this case, I would own and say that's fine. Get me to the postseason. Get me a few 12-win seasons, and then in 2029, we'll have a new discussion. And maybe we do talk about how do we get to the next level. Very similar to Tom Thibodeau.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't think that comp is like the worst.
Right.
Though McCarthy has a Super Bowl ring, Tom Thibodeau doesn't.
Good point.
I would keep this in mind, and this does not matter, but we like to have the information. No head coach in NFL history has won Super Bowls with two different teams. So when we talk about McCarthy's won a Super Bowl, that's great.
It doesn't matter.
It actually means he's probably not going to win one with the Giants because it's never happened.
Has anyone gotten close?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Mike Holmgren.
Well, Dan also, Reeves.
Dan Reeves, too. Another one. Yeah,
also,
there's a few.
Also, Andy Reid, who got to a Super Bowl with the Eagles and then won multiple.
Yeah, there are guys that have done it where they've gotten to both. Yeah. Parcells did it, got to the Super Bowl with New England after winning with the Giants. So there's plenty of guys that have done it in multiple places. It's a matter of sealing the deal and winning it in both places. And no one's done it. But then again, maybe it would be Mike McCarthy. Maybe he breaks the seal and is the first guy to do it. So you never know. Let's go to Colton and Tom's River. What's up, Colton?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
We're good.
Hey, so I think it'd be absolute organization malpractice to not keep Joe Shane. I think it'd be terrible for the Giants. If the Bengals fire Zach Taylor, if Joe Burrow actually stays healthy for once in his career, the Bengals' job would probably be the best. I know their defense is horrible, but offensively, the Giants would probably have the best job opening on the market. I think it'd be malpractice by the Giants to keep Joe Shane, knowing what you got at quarterback, at running back, the players you have on defense. There's a lot of talent on that defense. And the fact that you're going to hire a new coach with this GM, he gets fired if the season's bad next year. And then you have to do the same thing over again. You might as well call yourselves the Cleveland Browns. Thanks, guys.
But it doesn't feel, Colton. First of all, I don't think Joe Shane is safe. I said that last week. I still don't feel that way.
Right.
I think the Giants are just saying, let's finish the season out. Let's see what happens. If they don't win another game and some of Shane's picks continue to look bad, I think there's a chance he's gone. But even if he's back, it feels like this coaching search is not about Joe Shane. It feels like it's almost around Joe Shane, so that you're not going to have Joe make the decision. He's just the guy who's a part of the process, and it's really ownership making the decision. So he feels not really like a powerful general manager. Right?
Yeah, I know. I want to say he's, because he's not a figurehead, because he is still out there scouting. He's got an entire team that he's running, and we know how people inside the Giants organization feel about him, that he put together a good roster that just hasn't been capable of winning, and they haven't been coached well enough. In fact, some of these guys have taken steps back. Defensively, last year we thought Tyler Newbin was going to be a perennial, really good safety, potentially a Pro Bowler. He regressed this year. Looks like he doesn't know what he's doing half the time. Drew Phillips was one of the best corners in football, nickel or otherwise, rookie or otherwise, in football. He's regressed this year. In fact, he got benched to an extent yesterday. And so what happened? It's not the player all the time.
Right.
It could be the coaching. And they fired their defensive back coach last year. Again, these are Dave's decisions, and so a lot of the blame that falls to Dave's, the former head coach now, was not all losing the games. It was look at the development or lack thereof of development from some of these young players that Joe Shane brought in.
Let's go to Mike in Paramus. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good.
All's good.
So I just want to let you know I love calling your show only because I feel like a lot of the points that you guys do make are legit in a sense where you dig a little deeper into, you know, some of the other shows prior to you, which I happen to enjoy those two shows too, but I feel like I get a lot more out of your show. With that being said, I got a pretty cool story. So yesterday, longtime fan, longtime season ticket holder, I was in the Corona box And I look over to the left, and I see Rodney Hampton and Pepper Johnson sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
So I said to my son, I go, oh, man, there's Pepper Johnson. And he's 20 years old. He looks at me and goes, who the hell is that? I said, Tom. I said, Pepper Johnson's the man. I said, he was a sack machine. He had a funky dance to him. He had a lot of swag. So I go over to Pepper and Rodney. I say, hey, guys, can I take a picture? Longtime fan. So I said to Pepper Johnson, I go, you know, man, I used to have your jersey. He goes, well, why the hell you ain't wearing it? I said, honestly, it don't fit. And he thought, and he goes, you know what? That's pretty funny. He goes, mine don't fit either. Goes, yeah, you know,
that's funny.
I saw them both yesterday as well. And Pepper is big as hell.
Oh my God, that is one cool cat, man.
Awesome.
He is one cool cat.
I agree.
But you know, one of the points I did want to make is, you know, I feel like I'm kind of speaking for a lot of Giants fans. I don't, you know, we lose these games, and I got to tell you, for the last 5+ years, I've walked out of that stadium. I never leave early. I'm a true trooper to the end. But I don't walk out mad anymore. I got to tell you, I would say that the word for me would probably be disappointed, because I know the win is right there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we have not been relevant nor exciting for a long, long time. And, you know, I just think this team has got a really great future ahead of them. You know, I know the topic of the Giants all the time is Dart, and he's phenomenal, and I love the kid, and I'm glad to have him, but I really love this kid, Scadaboo. I mean, I think he brought an excitement to the Giants that they haven't had in a long, long time.
Yeah, since...
What a shame that a guy like him had to go down.
Right. You haven't seen somebody like that, Mike, since Jeremy Shockey in his rookie season, who was just impactful and energetic and like quintessential football player. We haven't seen it in a really long time. I'm not talking Odell Beckham Jr. That's a different kind of excitement. I'm talking just dirty, grimy, I'm gonna beat your ass when I get the opportunity, football player.
It's why the Giants are very weird right now, because they've got a few players that the fans love, mm-hmm. that they've connected to. Cam Scottable being one of them, Jackson Dart being another.
Burns.
And yet, you don't really have a head coach, you hate the defensive coordinator, and you don't trust the general manager.
Right.
So it's this odd moment in time in which you're excited about the Giants' future, like our last caller, but simultaneously, you're also very worried about the Giants' future because you kind of need a coach. It matters.
Right. You're pissed off, but excited at the same time.
It's a weird mix.
It is a very weird mix, because think about the previous iterations of this Giant team, or let's go to the Jets. It's like you're despondent and mad and angry and just... get rid of everybody.
Right.
Sorry, I'm throwing water
on you.
You
just threw water all over me as you said that.
Sorry, my cap has water
that's
on
all right.
It was refreshing. But that's not what you feel right now.
No, and in fact, I'll tell you what the Jet fan is most excited about. We're most excited about the fact we have a ton of draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally our excitement.
Yeah.
Like, yeah!
Both of these teams have... like, they're not good. They're going to win 6 games, maybe, collectively, in this season. But there is an optimism around both teams in a weird way.
Correct. And maybe it's because we've been beaten down so much that we have no other choice but to find little bits of optimism.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, here's all you need to know. And saying it out loud is so depressing. The teams are 4-17. Mm. That's their record. 4-17.
Mm.
Like, what the hell is going on? That's our football, ladies and gentlemen. 4-17.
Not good.
And this isn't new. It's not like, oh, what a new experience. The two football teams stink. It's what happens year after year after year after year after year. Let's go to Mike in Westchester. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Happy Thanksgiving and all that stuff.
Happy Thanksgiving. We'll take it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Next Thursday already, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, just two quick points, really. And I know Shane is getting a lot of credit for the Malik Nabers pick. But if you go back to that Hard Knocks, the scene where he's sitting in the room with Mr. Mara and Mr. Tisch telling him what the plan is, well, thank God his plan didn't work out, because what his plan was, obviously they weren't going to be able to go up and trade up and get May or Daniels or any of those people. Then the plan was, well, we like Marvin Harrison Jr., but we think he's going to be gone. thank God he was gone because he hasn't been really that good.
Right.
Then the second plan was we want to have somebody come up and trade with us, and if they do, we think Roma, Dunze, and Bowers are just as good. So thank God that didn't work out. I mean, really, thank God, though, because the Dunze is not a good receiver. I don't know if you've got watched him yet, but he's. I mean, the Malik Nabers is by far
he's
the
stud
of that draft, aside maybe from the quarterback.
No, you're right.
But then I mean, thank God the plan didn't work. So, but my question to you, Tiki, I got this is a giant insider one. I've heard this a million times, and it goes with the hiring of Joe Judge. Is there any truth to the rumor that goes the Giants offered Bill Belichick everything under the sun to come take the organization over? And he says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay in New England. But here, take this guy. He's going to be a great coach. Because if you remember, if you remember, they said, hey, we're having a press conference today. We're going to hire Joe Judge. And every Giant fan went, who the hell is Joe Judge?
Right, the special teams
so
coach.
I just want your honest opinion on that.
No,
that's
did Bill Belichick recommend? Sure. Did it come on the back end of him saying, no, I don't want your ridiculous offer to come be the head? I don't think that was the case, but I think he did recommend Joe Judge.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, otherwise, why else would he have gotten a head coaching job?
Yeah.
Because he wasn't on anybody's radar.
Which is why I think about this with Mickey Callaway from Terry Francona, Joe Judge from Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And even now when we talk about Shula for McVay, just because a young coach or managerial candidate comes with high recommendation right. from a legend, doesn't mean it's going to work. Peyton Manning recommended Adam Gase. How the hell did that work? So these recommendations, while they're nice, and who doesn't want a good recommendation? What does it mean? Mm. Now, Bill Belichick did the other day come out aggressively and say he will not be interested in the New York Giant job. What I wonder about is if Belichick said that because he knows they're not going to be interested right. in Bill Belichick. Or, and this is also a possibility, he said that because he wants to show a loyalty to the job he's at right now.
Right.
And even if he doesn't actually feel that way and wants to coach in the NFL again, which I think we all assume he does want to do, publicly he's going to say all the right things to show his love for where he's at.
I'd be surprised if he wants to get back in the NFL because he's not going to get the owner head coach relationship that he had in New England. And I'm not saying that as a good thing. I'm just saying that as a non-meddling thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's not going to get the all-inclusive right. power that he wants.
He had carte blanche to do whatever he wants. I mean, hiring, drafting, what his staff looked like, how much they were paid, all of that was done by Bill Belichick.
Yep.
So he's not getting that if he goes someplace else.
Before we get to the quarterback change the Jets are making, on Friday at about 5 o'clock, we all made our Jameis Winston stat predictions. Mm-hmm. Let's see how we did. For those that didn't check the box score after the game, Jameis finished 19 for 29 for 201 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, and then a fumble at the very end of the game. We made our predictions on Friday. Let's go to our Winston stat prediction desk with Sean Morrow. Sean, who's up first?
You are, Evan.
Oh, Let's hear what I said. 23 for 35 for 405 yards.
Dude.
Four touchdown passes and three interceptions. That's an L for me.
I think I'm going to lose.
Yeah, I guess the completions were sort of close. Yeah. You had 19, I said 23, but I was off by 204 yards. And four touchdowns.
Right.
And early on, I knew I was dead because Mike Kafka was really committed to that run.
Right. I think you were channeling Sam Darnold with the interceptions, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. What a day for him. Also, to be fair, we all made these predictions before we get to the next one, not knowing that they were going to be playing in 70-mile-an-hour winds, essentially. Mm. That's what it felt like.
No, that is true. I didn't know that. That's my excuse. Who's next?
Let's go with Tommy Lugauer.
20 passes out of 27 attempts, two touchdowns, two interceptions, for
273 yards.
Very, very close on the completions and the incompletions. 20 for 27. He was 19 for 29. 273 for Tommy. Ended up at 201. So far, he's the closest. And let's see who else.
And Tommy also said two touchdowns. He didn't say passes. Jameis did run in a touchdown. Mm.
That is true. I guess he kept it open-ended enough.
How about that? All right, let's go with me next.
26 of 42, 293 yards, two touchdowns, two picks.
You did the same thing. You left it open-ended. Mm. So, all right.
All right, and last but not least, Tiki Barber.
29 out of 41 for 280 yards,
boo,
two touchdowns, and an interception.
I think we can declare Tommy Lou Gower the winner of this little exercise.
Even though nobody really won.
Yeah, I mean, and nobody...
but you can claim it, Tommy.
No, well, he's the closest, clearly. Like, if we're playing bocce, ever play bocce?
Yes.
It's closest ball, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that how it works? Mm-hmm. You throw the white ball, then you throw the big fat ball, and you got to get the big fat ball really close to the little tiny white ball?
Yes.
I've gotten the game correct, right?
Yes.
So in the game of bocce, Tommy Lou Gower's big ball is closest to the tiny white ball.
All right. So big balls, Tommy. You got
so
that.
Congratulations, Tommy, on your victory.
Good job, big balls.
Yeah. Before we continue anything, I do feel like we need to have a quick intervention with Evan Roberts here.
What's that?
I'm not going to replay the word, but in the last 40 minutes or so, you said your family cannot listen to Tommy Lou Gower in the car.
Yes.
Because they are, because Tommy's, quote, what on the radio?
I forget what the word I use. Like, his words are very Randy.
Loogie!
Are you aware of what Randy means?
Alcohol, right?
No, Randy, I thought this was the case, and we had to spend a break looking this up. Randy means...
It's British, right?
Yeah. It's Austin Powers used to say it all the time.
Sexually,
are you Randy, baby?
Sexually aroused. No, baby. So, for you to say that you and your kids can't listen to Tommy because he's Randy on the radio would be a wrong term, and I would not suggest telling your kids that Tommy is very Randy.
Did you mean to say raunchy?
Raunchy, yeah. He can be raunchy, which, by the way, is great. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying when I'm leaving Six Flags Great Adventure, and I got Spence who listens to everything in the car, I got to be careful of what Tommy's going
to
say.
He likes to hang and bang.
Okay.
You and I need to have a three-way.
But you know what, Tommy, because I do love your show tonight, I've got nothing to do. I'm going to re-listen to the Tommy Lou Gower experience tonight as I'm driving home.
How long were you on?
4 hours.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know about all 4 hours.
Give it an hour. I mean, I had 90.
I had it for 2 hours and 20 minutes or so.
Damn, where were you going?
I took Tracy's mom and dad home.
Oh, very nice.
So they got into a car accident, and so luckily everybody was okay, so it was no issue, but their car is banged up, so I drove them home.
Were they entertained by Tommy?
They were.
Great. Well,
that's when Tracy's mom said, oh, I like Tommy.
There you go.
What do you think caused the accident?
She turns on the TV at 4 o'clock to watch us on SNY every day.
There you go.
I don't think she listens before that, but she watches us on SNY, that's for sure.
There you go. I will listen to you tonight, Tommy, because I want to hear all the different ideas on how we can clean up tanking and call it by a nice, proper name. Speaking of tanking, the New York Jets made a quarterback decision earlier today.
This is anti-tanking, though.
Yeah, a couple of things I'm confused about. Number one, Aaron Glenn has been very secretive about not announcing anything when it comes to the quarterback, and they allowed this to leak out. Now, the last time something leaked out, Aaron Glenn got pissed off at Rich Cimini. But here's what's so strange about this. So it leaks out earlier today. Diana Russini, I think, had it first, that the Jets are going to bench Justin Fields and they're going to start Tyrod Taylor. Then the Jets had two players speak at their facility earlier today.
And then talked about it?
Yes! Jeremy Ruckert and Harrison Phillips. And I'm like, wait a second.
Well, you know, hold on then. You know what this tells me?
What?
This tells me that Aaron Glenn, over the last, I guess now 3 weeks, was actually thinking about this. He was thinking about benching Justin Fields.
Yes.
For Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
And so he hadn't fully made a decision either because Tyrod wasn't healthy or he was feeling pressure from the owner that we were speculating about from the owner's meetings when he talked about, Woody that is, talked about how bad Justin Fields is. He can't complete a pass.
Right.
Look at his QB rating. If he makes the change after Woody says that, then it's like Woody's calling all the shots.
And we said that at the time that it would look that way. Now, according to numerous Jet reports on how this went down, you're right. Aaron Glenn wanted to start Tyrod Taylor the week of the Woody Johnson intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, he kept it very secret. And then at the last second, Justin Fields started. The reason Justin Fields started is that Tyrod Taylor wasn't healthy.
Yeah.
And then because Fields played well and the Jets won, Glenn said, hey, we won. Let's keep going.
It also makes me feel like Aaron Glenn made Woody privy to this prior to the owner's meeting.
Which gave Woody
and,
the...
Which gave Woody the license to demean his player.
Mm.
That's what it feels like now.
Well, the whole thing feels like Aaron Glenn
is... It's sloppy.
It's sloppy.
And it's surprising because for most of this season, offseason, all the way through, it's been the anti of sloppy.
Right.
It's been anti, you know, mismanaging how you're communicating. And that's what this is. It's a communication thing. Who cares what happens when Tyrod Taylor is actually playing? But the communication has been pretty buttoned up for much of the season. It got sloppy.
Yeah, and also Aaron made a big deal out of leaks last week. Why was this leaked out? Like, why did Diana Russini and Adam Schefter all get the news that Taylor's starting over Justin Fields? Why didn't Aaron Glenn continue to play his game of, I'm not telling you who the quarterback is? Didn't bother me that much. I know some people did the hand-wringing and were deeply offended by it.
Right.
Like, why does it get leaked out on a Monday to where two players actually met the media and got asked questions about it? Mm. It should be the head coach answering questions about it. Now, in terms of the decision, I think he made the right decision. Look, Justin Fields is not the future. It was worth the gamble. It was a fine lottery ticket. I think it is clear that Justin Fields ain't going to turn into some superstar franchise quarterback. And the floor on Justin Fields is very, very low, as we've seen.
And that's the problem.
That is the problem because you want to evaluate guys on this roster. You want to evaluate A.D. Mitchell, who they just traded for, John Mechie, who they just traded for. You want to see what these guys are. And so the reason you play Tyrod Taylor is not simply because he gives you the best chance to win, though that's a small part of it.
Right.
I think it's because you want to be able to fairly evaluate some of the other players on this team.
Yeah.
And you can't do that with Justin Fields being as inaccurate as he is.
No, you're right. Now, the question is, especially if Tyrod Taylor plays well, is why didn't this happen earlier?
And I think the answer is because they won two in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the answer. Because it feels like he was ready to do it.
I'm talking like much earlier.
Oh, much earlier. Yeah, no, it's a good question.
It's likely the commitment. You commit $30 million in guaranteed money, 2-year, $40 million deal, 30 of that guaranteed to Justin Fields. You kind of got to give it a shot.
Yeah.
So I understand it, but I think we knew this answer pretty early.
The next question that we're not ready to ask yet because it's too early, but it will be asked at some point is, when do you take a look at Brady Cook? Mm. At what point do you say, all right, we've got this undrafted rookie.
Two more losses?
Let's just see. I don't know. I mean, you got to give the kids some time to kind of learn, to get some practice reps. Like, number one, I'd make him the backup. Like, I'll start right there. I would tell Justin Fields, all right, sorry, bro. You're the Russell Wilson now. Like, I'm going to let Brady Cook be the backup. Now, you tell me.
That would make Mike Tomlin even a better coach.
It really would.
From starter to third string. And Mike Tomlin got the Steelers to the postseason with those two guys.
You tell me, because maybe I'm making a bigger deal out of it than needs be. You've been there. You've been at practices. Mm-hmm. Is there more to learn when you're the backup quarterback as compared to when you're the third stringer? Would that be a valuable experience for him?
You're not really getting the reps. It's just how you now prepare. Because you're preparing to play.
But that would probably make you closer to playing.
Yeah, 100%.
That's why you do it.
You just prepare to play as opposed to running the scout team.
Right.
And that's all off cards. Like, it's, all right, let's hold up a card. Everybody do this. Hey, quarterback, you throw it to this guy and, you know.
So it's a greater responsibility.
Ready break. Yeah.
So then that's what they should do. The next lesson for Brady Cook is you're going to be the backup. You may play. I mean, Tyrod Taylor's injury prone. You could very well play in, you know, a couple of days. Right. Certainly possible. But now you are game planning to play with the eventual possibility that late in this season, we'll see what you got. I will get back to your calls on the Giants and Jets as well. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mark in Midland Park. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. I came up with something, which I'm sure everybody else has too, whatever. But why can't we get an extra referee in every game, up in the booth, up high, and when he sees something like we all do during the game, he calls down to the head ref in his ear and says, that's wrong. You got to look at this again. Hold on. I mean, that would be the smartest way to do it. I mean, we're all screaming at the TV. Why can't they do this? That would be the easy way to fix most of these calls that are wrong.
Yeah, like the eye in the sky.
No?
The eye in the sky aid, like it's the soccer would call this VAR, the video assistant referee. But I think the purity of the refs is what the league is trying to champion. And, you know, they want to give them the license to make the right decisions. It's going to get more and more challenging the more wrong decisions they make.
They're supposed to have something similar to what our last caller said, which is the expedited review.
But that's only on plays that are reviewable.
No, they do it on penalties sometimes.
Won't they do
expedited review like a face mask that they missed?
We saw one, and I'm forgetting the penalty, in the Giants game 2 or 3 weeks ago. The Eagle game. I think it was on Okereke. He was called for a penalty. They expedited.
Yeah, but that was a helmet. It was like a hit to the helmet.
It was a late hit on Jalen Hurts.
Yes, yes.
And that's not a reviewable play. So they do,
and they picked up the flag on the expedited
they
review.
They skirt the whole, well, it's not reviewable thing with expedited review. So it's, our last caller isn't wrong. I think he wants to expand that. Because they have expedited review, but they clearly don't use it enough.
I think it's expedited.
Expedited.
It's now expedited. I'm calling it expedited.
Yeah, but isn't it like one of those words that can be pronounced either way?
No.
Expedite.
Yeah, I think I'm right about that.
No, because it's there's an extra A.
I still think you're wrong. Look it up.
You want the definitions?
No, no, it's not definitions. I think
just think about this. PDA. PEDIATE.
Yeah.
Expedite is PIDITE.
No, I understand, but I think it is still able to be pronounced that way.
No, because Expedia is the travel company, yes. And expedite is to move something forward, so...
No, no, I think the word can be pronounced both ways. You guys are all going to take massive L's. I'm just warning you right now.
It's a different word.
I'm telling you right now. If you want to do this...
Expedited versus expedited.
Yes, I think it is... It can be pronounced that way. I'm pretty sure about that.
Rizzuto. R-I-Z-U-T-O.
Listen, you guys have a choice.
Nevertheless.
Right. You have a choice because you're not that sharp in the drawer. You could just blindly side with Tiki.
Where did you get the nerve?
You can because how many times have you said things immediately you're wrong and then you find out you're wrong?
But you're not Mark Twain, though.
Exactly. Evan, you're not as smart as you think you are.
I'm telling you, you're going to take an L on this. Are you sure you want to do it?
Yes, I do, actually. Okay. You know what? I do. Because of your arrogance, I do.
All right. I will prove at some point, probably tomorrow because I need time, I will undoubtedly prove that it can be pronounced expedite as well. I'm actually, like, really confident about it. You're right. I'm arrogantly confident that your guys are so wrong. It's an either-or word. You guys are not wrong in terms of pronouncing it that way, but there are certain words in the English language like route and root.
Yeah, but they're spelled the same.
No, I'm not spelling anything differently. I'm telling you it can be pronounced differently. You'll see.
Expedite
is
spelled differently than expedite.
But isn't it the same word? Are you saying they're different words? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's all I said.
Right. Then you know what, Tommy? I want to go back to what you just offered. I apologize. Can you give us the definitions? Because if they are different words, then maybe I take an L.
I'll get you expedite, which is obviously E-X-P-E-D-I-T-E, to make something happen sooner or faster, such as speeding up a process.
We're good. Now go to expedite.
I need the spelling of that, please.
E-X-P-E.
Well, I'm sorry. What are you, a Mensa member in there, Evan?
P-E-D-I-A.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
A-T-E.
That word's not even coming up.
It's not a word.
There you go. Dude, it's not a word.
No, it is a word.
Oh, I got it. E-X-P-E-D-I-T-E. Fires have been lighted in the... What the hell?
Dude, it's...
It's Gaelic, maybe. I don't know.
It's not a word.
Yeah. It is a word.
Expedient is not
a word. I go back to my initial point. It's the same word you're using. It's just a different pronunciation, like root and route, like aunt and aunt. Huh. There are a lot of words like that. And that's another example of it. By the way, we do have breaking NFL news. The NFL did a little investigation over the last 24 hours, and Ja'Marr Chase has been given a one-game suspension for spitting at Jalen Ramsey. Mm. Chase denied spitting at Jalen Ramsey, but the league determined that video evidence was sufficient to warrant a suspension.
Expedient is a common misspelling, is considered a non-standard variant, though is listed as expedite.
So I'm right. Thank you.
It's a common misspelling.
I didn't spell anything. I just pronounced it that way. Well, I didn't spell anything wrong.
It's a common mispronunciation. There's also breaking big NBA news as well.
First of all, we'll take the NBA news, but don't just gloss over mispronunciation. Tiki just confirmed you can pronounce it that way. Anyhow, what's the breaking NBA news?
Victor Wembanyama, and we've heard this injury before, left calf strain sidelined for a few weeks.
That sucks.
That does suck.
That sucks. He is such a joy to watch play basketball. He is so unique. He's such a unicorn. And the way he bitched out Draymond Green the other night was amazing.
What was Draymond even trying to do?
I don't know. Draymond's had a very busy last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear his issue last night?
No.
So he got into it with a fan. He was screaming at a New Orleans Pelicans fan.
He's had something like every day this week.
So the media goes to him after the game and says, "What were you yelling at the fan about?" We actually have the audio. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Let's. Here's what pissed off Draymond Green.
What happened in the second quarter with that fan?
He just kept calling me a woman. You know, it was a good joke at first, but I keep calling me a woman.
He was offended that the fan was calling him a woman. Okay. The fan had no problem also meeting the media.
What?
And he explained what he said. He said, "I was saying you're Angel Reese." And the reason he was calling her Angel Reese is that I'm calling him Angel Reese is because Angel Reese apparently has a reputation for purposely missing shots to pad her rebound stats.
Mm.
Now, I'm not even familiar with that, but apparently that's the case. And so this is where I think the guy is kind of funny. He was accusing Draymond Green of doing that and so made a reference to Angel Reese, which I think is really funny. And by the way, has nothing to do with...
Unless you don't get it.
Well, clearly he didn't get it because all Draymond saw was gender. Mm-hmm. I don't think the guy was making a gender joke. He was saying, "You're Angel Reese."
Yeah, he wasn't saying, "You're a girl."
Right.
You're soft like a girl. That's not what he was saying.
No, he was actually saying, "You're just like her because she pads her stats by missing
That's a W for the WNBA, though.
It's a W for the WNBA, and I thought the fan was being creative. Like, I don't think he was being mean-spirited. Mm. Right?
No, I don't think so. I think he was making a comparative point.
Exactly. And so Draymond didn't hear that. All he heard was, "I'm not a woman." But I don't think that's what the guy was saying. He was saying, "You're padding your stats. Like, I'm an attractive woman." I got to give the guy credit because I assumed when they were yelling at each other, he probably said something like really across the line.
Right.
I don't think that crosses the line. It's actually kind of funny. He's saying, "Yeah, you're padding your stats."
I didn't mind it.
I didn't mind it. It ain't easy being green.
Yeah.
Let's go to TC in Connecticut. What's up, TC?
Hey, TC.
Guy's breaking a lot of news today, especially the Cam Scataboo news that he'll be at the Raw taping tonight at MSG.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking to yours truly, who broke that story today. I'm TC from WrestleVotes. We recently partnered with Fightful. So,
oh, nice.
I just happened
to. You broke it. That's you.
And it was me. I've never heard my own report on WFAN, so I was very enticed to give you guys a call.
How did you get the info, TC?
A woman named Nikki Geis, my partner. We do a little bit of dirt sheet reporting, and in the wrestling circles, Fightful is now like the number one most reputable organization for news. We recently signed with them. We have two podcasts coming out with them on Fightful Select starting December 1st. And it was interesting because the source I spoke to said that Cam Scataboo was at the UFC event on Saturday night. Seemed to have a good connection with those at MSG, and he was welcome to come tonight to the event, and WWE caught wind of that and is preparing all sorts of merchandise for him as well. So not only will he be a part of the show, there'll be some Cam Scataboo merchandise to go along with it. Now, whether or not he's on television tonight is yet to be seen. Those plans are always fluid with how WWE operates. But
do you have an idea, since you are with Fightful now,
on who John Cena will be wrestling tonight at Madison Square Garden.
There was a report put out there today by Sean Rossap of Fightful. That is behind a paywall. So if you want to find out who is going to be wrestling in the tournament tonight, you will find out. But I will say this. It's a familiar face that any WWE fan from the last 15 years is well known of, and he's somewhat of a show-off. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, I know what that means. Thank you for the call, TC. Mm. Do you want me to tell you what that means?
It's
I think he's like, I don't know.
It's I don't know.
It's a man formerly known in the WWE as Dolph Ziggler, but he goes by his real name in TNA, Nick Nemeth. He's also a stand-up comedian.
Nemeth.
By the way, here is the expedite decision, all right? According to the internet.
The internet is never wrong.
Expedite
AI.
This is not AI. Okay, it is. Expedite is the correct and widely used term and meant to speed up a process.
No, expedite.
Expedite is a less common synonym that originated from a misspelling, but is now widely accepted. Mm-hmm. So I win, you all lose. You can send me the apology whenever you want.
What's it called when a proper noun becomes the word, like Kleenex? What's that called?
I have no idea.
The Mandela effect? but I know what you're saying, because it's not actually a Kleenex. Kleenex is the brand.
Yeah, it's a tissue.
Right.
It's a tissue. It's a
like
tissue.
A Q-tip.
Band-Aid is another Band-Aid, one like that.
What is that? Like, that's what this is.
There is a definition for that. I'm not sure.
Expedia has made expedite a verb.
Either way, I'm right. I don't really don't care how we got there. The point is,
either way, it doesn't actually exist in the world's
dictionary. No, but it is widely accepted.
Yes, but Merriam-Webster does not account for it.
Yeah, Merriam doesn't accept it.
Yeah, but I never spelled the word. I was just pronouncing the word. And my pronunciation is widely accepted.
Well, I tell you, that Evan Roberts has some wild takes sometimes.
I'm just reading what's said. What do you want from me? Let's go to Josh in Queens. What's up, Josh?
Hey, boys. It's always great to talk to you. I just hate talking after an embarrassing Jets loss, and I don't care what anybody else says. That team was not even remotely close to being a good team on that field. The secondary is god-awful. That guy, Jason Brownlee, is horrible. Now, Fields, he can't be on the field. He can't be on the field. Those A.D. Mitchell throws, you can't assess players like that. You can't assess. You guys hit it already. John Mechie, you can't assess players if you don't have someone who's thrown for 54 yards through 3.5 quarters of football.
Yeah, that
you
was,
can't do that.
That was a net football for sure. It was hard to watch it.
That's why you have to make the move.
It's exactly.
That's why, because one of the defenses, and I probably would use this earlier in the season as well, he's young. And so he's got greater potential. Look, the greater potential, I think, is done now.
Yeah.
I don't care how young you are. He's had enough opportunities.
He's been in the league for 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah, and he's played enough games. And so I think it's more about evaluating the guys around the quarterback position more so than the quarterback, because the quarterback's not on this team.
And you know you're drafting one now.
Not only that, Teague, not only do you know you're drafting a quarterback, I also think it's very possible they're going to bring in another veteran quarterback, not named Tyrod Taylor or Justin Fields.
Yeah.
That Fields will be gone. They'll eat the loss on him post June 1st cut, which isn't as big of a cap hit, and they'll go get a different veteran quarterback.
Russell Wilson.
No, thank you. I don't know who that guy is, though. Jokes aside, like, I'm not sure who it is.
There's plenty of them. Like, these guys that are just going to fall away, like off of whatever team they're on, or be available from whatever team they're on. You, that's not the worry. The worry is who you're going to draft.
Yes, because the hope is that that guy will be so impressive he'll take the job immediately. Mm-hmm. But you have to prepare as if he's not going to be ready to take the job immediately.
Right.
More of your calls coming up. Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.